Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What's going on, Chiefs Kingdom? We are back in the building. Players Only is here for the Week 11 edition. I got Sean Barber, former linebacker with the Chiefs and several other teams.
Yeah, man. Woo-dee-woo. My man Joe Mays. Shout out to my man
Joe Mays. Shout out to Joe Mays.
Woo-woo.
He's not with us this year. Brought us to a couple of Super Bowl appearances. And we got a guest in the building. And it's about time that we had the scales slightly turned and flipped. Well, we got two offensive guys in here and one defensive guy. Justifiably so. The offensive guys are the smartest side of the football. I got Keith Cash, former tight end with the Kansas City Chiefs.
What's up? Oh, there it is.
There you go.
It's in the building, y'all.
Offensive guy. We taught him the buttons. It said it was simple as 1, 2, 3, and he still messed it up.
Hey, it's all right, Keith. It's all right. We know you're still flustered about that KU loss last week. Was it too
low
early?
Blow.
Too soon? Too
low
soon?
Blow.
Too soon, dang, my bad. I didn't read the fine print, my bad. And I am Danon Hughes, host of Players Only. Each and every week we come to you 6 to 7 on Thursdays, and we just chop it up, a little round table with former Players Only. Chop it up about the Chiefs' past victory and the upcoming game. We also have the Jay Southland Tow Service text line open, 913-576-7610. That is the text line and the call-in line. So get some activity on that, because we will, as we do each and every week in the third quarter, we have the Time's Yours segment, and we want to hear from all of the fans, or as many fans as possible in the Chiefs Kingdom. But fellas, man, we got smiles on our faces. We got three straight wins, and we got an opportunity to go to the Death Star, Darth Vader's lair, out in the middle of the desert, and get a W against the Raiders. This Raiders team that many people thought was their year. I know we've heard that several years over and over. But the Chiefs get their third straight win. And I want to hear you guys' thoughts, because I kind of feel like it was a big win in many areas, not just in the score, but just in the approach and how things were unfolded for that game.
Well, I'm going to keep it real quick and then kick to my man Keith Cash, because I know he got a lot of insight and knowledge to wisdom to drop. But I think it was just business as usual. It was the Chiefs taking a business trip and taking care of their business. They loved the white on white. It was icy. Pat, you heard him say it. It was a business trip. It didn't matter about the casinos. Nobody cared about the high rise or the MGM or any other of those casinos.
What about
the
big offensive lineman wearing the white on white?
They loved it. Loving it. Right? Loving it. Loving all of it. I just think that the attitude for the trip was just take care of business. It was like, hey, this it don't the first time, the Starship, all these other things that were the Raiders being on the national media about, you know, Ruggs, and then the Arnett and Gruden. I mean, all these off-the-field things were happening internally for that team. But we still had a football game to go and take care of business, because we knew at the start of our game whoever won that game was going to be AFC champions. And I think AFC, that number one seed, we was looking, we took care of our business. So I like the attitude, the emotion, and I like the way the team came out with a focus.
That's one of those get right games. You know, every year you have one of those, you get right. You struggle throughout the year, which they've been doing, and everything kind of came together that game. It looked like Patrick was on fire.
Hold on, Keith. I think that mic is not getting you in full. I'll chime in first, and we'll let you come back, Keith. I agree with Barbershop. I think it was business at hand. There was some concern, obviously, when you go to a city like Las Vegas, and the business trip is not the normal routine. And what I mean by that, for the fans out there, normally for the Chiefs, they get to a certain city right around 4 p.m. that local time. If you play what would be a 12 p.m. game here, if you go to Denver or if you go to West Coast, it's going to be a little earlier. Or usually they move those games to the late afternoon because of the time frame, but you have a routine. You throw a curveball in when you play a Sunday night or a Monday night or a Thursday night because you got more time during game day to get outside of your routine, to have to configure different things for the players to do in and out of their room, make sure they're not, they're not sleepy, make sure they're still moving around, they don't get lethargic, all those different things. And then you add the destination of Las Vegas, where as many of the listeners likely saw on TV, there was a lot of red there. So there was a lot of fans, there was a lot of family there. It's a destination for most opponents who play the Las Vegas Raiders. So you had to be concerned about all that. But I agree with Barbershop. They treated it as a business trip, 100% business trip, and they were the better football team. And for many people who thought that the Raiders were a better football team just because of their record, I think those people were shut down right around the third quarter, end of the third quarter. I think that's when you really recognize who was the truly better team. Now, that doesn't mean that the game still wasn't in the balance and that there wasn't an opportunity for the Raiders to possibly, you know, snatch away a win or get some momentum or what have you. But I think right around that time, you recognized, if you were any kind of a football aficionado, you recognized that the Chiefs were the better football team and deserved the win.
I recognized that real early. I mean, I thought that they had a little more pep in their step.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it was about that game. I call them get-right games when you've been struggling all year. You start playing a little bit better, then you have one of those games where everything comes together. That's a get-right game. And during those get-right games, it's usually a tell of what's going to happen the rest of the season, in my opinion. They have everything kind of flowing. Quarterback's making his reads, getting into the right spots. Receivers are where they're supposed to be. The running game showed up. I mean, the running back played well in the running game and the passing game. So it's just one of those. And the defense looks like Chris Jones is playing inside a little mm-hmm. bit more. It was just a good team victory, something that you can look at. Hopefully this is the turning point of their season.
Barbershop, you get the perspective. I kind of feel like we can go about breaking down this team two different directions. Keith and I played offense, so we spent a majority of time watching film on opposing defenses.
Keith played offense. You played special teams.
I play. Julio, is it time to go to a break yet? It's not time. Okay. So I played offense.
Fullback.
Majority. You see how my voice went high? I played offense.
Majority of your snaps were special teams.
Not true.
Keith.
Kind of true.
I was about to say.
It's within a few percentage points.
Yeah, okay.
But still, I was in the meetings with the offense and watched the film.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Dang, bro. So
threw them all off right there.
Yeah, you threw me off. All right, Barbershop. So now, just because of that comment, I'm going right back to Keith. Keith, you and I were in the offensive meeting rooms watching and studying offensive, or I should say defensive films. I think we're better than Barbershop to speak about the defense versus our Chiefs offense, things that we exploited, how we exploited them. What was your perspective on the game from that viewpoint. And let me before you get into it, I've always said on this air that we don't see the game better than any other fan. We just see it different.
Right. Right.
So I've been in, you know, watch parties with you where we just watch the game differently.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the couple things that I took away from that game, it's the timing of that offense. He got the ball out of his hands.
Mm-hmm.
That was the main thing for me. That's been the problem all year. He's trying to force things. He took what the defense gave him. Looked like they called some screens early on. That opened it. That it just opens up stuff for Andy to do stuff later in the game. And when you get those guys really thinking about stopping the run, stopping those quick passes, then there's some things that open up down the field.
Yeah, I would say, you know, from the offensive perspective, to me, and I don't believe we can provide bulletin board material because we're just former players that see the game differently. The Raiders were one of the more predictable teams defensively that the Chiefs have faced all year. Here's why. They came into the game being a team that did not blitz. And guess what? They did not blitz. They came into the game with having some success last year where they had the defensive ends, Yannick Ngakoue and Max Crosby, line up in outside nine technique. So, Keith, from a nine technique, you know that's like a out guy wide. That would be out wide, yep. Wider than you as a tight end. And basically isolating the tackle and saying, my speed on the outside is going to beat your tackle's footwork. And we're going to constrict the pocket from the outside wide because we kind of believe that Patrick Mahomes is not comfortable stepping up into the pocket. He wants to escape left and right. So last year, if you remember, prior to their victory lap around Arrowhead, they were one of the first teams to employ that wide rush that ultimately jumped up and bit us in the Super Bowl against the Buccaneers. But they were one of the first ones with Crosby coming out wide and basically running around the our tackles.
Yeah.
They did the same thing.
Right, right. It's a track meet to the quarterback.
Yeah, that's basically what they're saying. So there wasn't any ingenuity, there wasn't any real creativity with their defensive approach to the Chiefs. While, on the flip side, like you mentioned, Keith, the Chiefs, we tightened the screws. Patrick was getting the ball out quick. He was stepping up in the pocket. I don't think he even had a rushing down where he went right or left, escaped to the sideline like we've seen. So he's making a conscious effort to make adjustments to his game while we played against a team that evidently thought that their previous game plans, because they played us close last year in Vegas and they beat us here in Kansas City, they thought they were going to just be able to play that again and that was going to work, and it jumped up and bit them. Barbershop, get off the Twitter.
Man, you know I don't tweet. I ain't got no IG, none of that stuff.
You got Snapface?
I ain't got no Snapface, no Instagram, no
InstaChat?
None of that stuff.
Right.
I was looking at these compliments on the text line, but I guess we'll get to that later.
Yeah, we got third quarter.
As far as the Raiders game, what the Chiefs defense did was we kept it very plain and simple. It was mano a mano. Our guys up front were better than their guys blocking. And it became a long day trying to keep Chris Jones, Frank Clark. That was one of the best games we've seen from him mm-hmm. in a long time. But then also, hey, man, I hired mercenary. Mark Ingram, Melvin Ingram has come from nowhere. Like I said, man, he tapes all 10 fingers. He's old school. He puts his fingers in the dirt. And he wants to strangle somebody. Whoever the offensive lineman who has to block him one-on-one, within 2 seconds, you're at the foot of the quarterback every single time. And he don't say, I'm sorry. He don't pick you up.
he ain't patting nobody on the back.
Man, he lets you know that's going to happen to you every day.
All day.
Until they call double team. Until they double me, this is going to be the result every time. And so, like, I love the fact that he's not trying to seek sacks, quarterback hurries. No, he knows if I deposit this offensive lineman 3 yards into the middle of the pocket, that's going to prevent the quarterback from stepping up. And I got other guys that can go hunt. I got some sharks and dogs, and I got Sac Nation. I got all these other guys that can go get sacks. He came here to be a disruptive force, and he does it every single time he's on the field. You got to love that. And then we got the young linebackers, obviously, Willie Gay, Bolton. It was good to see Hitch back in there, yeah, into the flow of things. I think they had they're evolving as a linebacker group, but I think our back end, Man, Fenton has been one of the brightest. Fenton is playing this year like we thought Willie Snead played last year. The way Snead played last year came out of nowhere. LaDarius Snead played last year, and it was like, man, this guy's just such a bright spot. I think Fenton is that guy for us. Like, he takes nothing from nobody.
Yeah,
he's not intimidated. He's not scared. It doesn't matter what your history is, how many receptions, how many Pro Bowls you went to. Line up, and 27 is going to be at your ankles, nipping,
gnawing,
nipping, rerouting, challenging you for balls. Like, he's gritty like that. Man, I love corners like that. And then you pair that up with our safeties, obviously. Honey Badger's doing this thing. Obviously got terrific nose. He's a hawk, ball hawk. And then deuces, right? Double deuces. My man from UVA, he's been doing this thing, getting better and better. Throwing, he'll be getting better and better. And so, I mean, I think everybody, what we say is when you go from the front all the way to the back, everybody is starting to play complementary of each other's skills. They having that trust, that communication, and that's going to be a sad state of affairs as we go further and further in the season.
Absolutely. I thought the defense played really good complementary football to the offense. Special teams stepped up again. Even though we had the one fumble from Mike Hughes, you had the fake punt, Tommy Townsend executing that. That was kind of the final dagger that you kind of really felt comfortable that this game had swayed into the good guys' hands. But when we come back, that's the end of the first quarter. And just like each and every week, our show and our quarters are brought to you by U.S. Bank. Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit. But when we come to the second quarter, we're going to broach some different topics about this Chiefs team, about the NFL in general. I want to hear Keith's perspective on just players in general going through a win streak and coming out on the side. And now we're coming up upon a big game against a team we haven't seen before and a bye week after that, which the bye week is huge. And we're going to talk about that next.
This is Players Only with Damon Hughes and Sean Barber. Thursday nights at 6 on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
We're back, Players Only. Back in the building, second quarter of the show. Sean Barber, a.k.a. Barbershop. Keith Cash, our guest in studio. And I am Damon Hughes, and we do still have the Jays Southland Tow Service text line open, 913-576-7610. We got some good texts that we'll get to in the third quarter when the time is yours in the Chiefs kingdom. But this segment, I wanted to get into midseason grades. Now, I know before anybody texts in or calls in that it's not technically midseason, but after last week when all the noise was about Aaron Rodgers not being involved in the head-to-head matchup against the Packers, the Chiefs, you know, playing a little lackluster in a lot of people's eyes, but getting the win. I kind of feel like after this second game, this is only the second game against an AFC West opponent where we beat the Raiders decisively, who was in first place prior to the game. I kind of feel like this is a great time for us to tackle midseason grades. So, the math is off, but the facts are the facts. How we want to break this down, fellas?
Let me start with the defense. All right, I'm going to handle the defense at the back end of the defense and the special teams. Let me begin with the position I know and love, that linebacker group. I think we obviously got some young, aggressive guys. The development we've seen so far from Nick Bolton is amazing. I think we got to start off with saying, as a group of guys, I think the grade I give them is a C+, maybe a B-.
But
I'm a hard teacher. Both of my parents are teachers. I'm hard.
Grade on the curve.
Dang.
There ain't no curve.
They ain't even no curve.
I call a spade a spade.
That's a grade on a knuckleball.
There is a lot of room for improvement, because when I look at the leagues, across the league, the linebacker groups that play lights out, the Tampa Bays, the Steelers, the linebacker.
Ravens
guy, Patrick Queen. Like these guys play every down. They're not a liability against the pass or the run. Lot of tackles for loss. And that's what I'm seeing from Bolton. And obviously with Hitch getting back in there, it's going to limit some of the time in Bolton. But it shouldn't limit his progression. He should still progress, learn. I listened to a audio clip of him being interviewed, and he spoke so highly of his communication with Hitch on the date. So I like what I'm seeing. So I'm going to get a C plus, B minus the linebackers. The secondary, corners and safety, I'm going to combine them together, and I'm going to give them a B plus. I'm going to erase a lot of the early stuff I saw because of the personnel, a lot of the one-on-ones, missed tackles, some of those things. I'm going to give them a do-over. I grade the paper, gave it back to them. They corrected it. Now I got Thornhill out there doing some work. He got out-jumped by Sorensen on that pick. I saw that. So he got to work on that vertical a little bit against the Raiders. But overall, they're in the place they need to be. They're making big plays. And I think Ward and my man Fenton are and definitely Snead. Those three guys are doing a phenomenal job. In special teams, I'm going to give it a C+. I don't like any miss.
Dang, none of the guys is eligible. They barely eligible. If they was in college, they couldn't be playing.
Hey, man, my rule of thumb with special teams is going into every game, every special teams coach I've been around, it's like 100%. Every field goal, every extra point. Okay. We give up no big plays.
I hear you.
No block punts, no block kicks. And so overall on the season, the few turnovers we've had, one by Pringle, one by 2-1, that knocks it down to a C. But everybody has room for improvement. The sky's the limit. I'm a hard teacher in week 17. Hopefully they'll come back and
ain't have no summa cum laude. Ain't no summa cum laude there.
He changing grades, throwing out stuff. No.
I pass it to Keith Cash.
Let's talk about the defensive line. This is kind of an incomplete, right? We had a couple guys hurt early, several guys hurt throughout the year. We just got Ingram in. So I think if I'm looking at them last game, I would give them a B+. Throughout the season, just because I'm not throwing out grades, I'm going to give them a C-. But with that being said, they are trending in the right direction.
Yep.
Those boys are starting to come around. So I look forward to that grade going a lot higher.
What about so you also obviously as a former tight end, what do you see from our tight end core? We started off the season with four tight ends. We had four tight end sets. And Jody Fortson goes down with an injury. Now we're kind of in that three-guy set, but each guy having their own kind of role.
Yeah, I don't think you need four tight ends. I mean, I like the fact that they kept four tight ends because those were the four of the best players, you know, top 53 or whatever. But, I mean, you still have Kelce. What is he, the fifth-rated receiver, not just tight end, but exactly. The fifth-rated receiver. So, I mean, they get a B-plus from me. There was a couple drops, some miscommunications in there. But all in all, they've played well. Kelce has done his thing. Looks like this great kid. He looks fast and quick to me, so I look forward to what they're going to do with him. And then Bell is that grappler. He's that guy that gets his hands on you and just kind of extension of the offensive line.
The belldozer. Speaking of the offensive line, what you got on the big uglies in the middle?
Gosh, you know what? The big uglies in the middle are balling. Those two guards in the center, they are mauling people. Tackles, not so much. They struggle a little bit earlier. Seems like they're playing a little bit better. I think part of their struggle was the way that Patrick Mahomes plays. I mean, he holds the ball and he tries to get it downfield.
Yeah.
Now that you see him getting in more of a rhythm and the timing coming together, I think some of those bad plays aren't that bad because he's going to have the ball out of his hands.
Yep, and I agree. And I'm going to tackle the last three. And by the way, if you were not listening to the first quarter of this show, Barbershop was giving me crap about being a special teams guy and not an offensive guy. And guess who covered special teams in this grading, and guess who's gotten the final three, which happen to be offensive categories in here. Now, Barbershop,
skill positions too.
Skill positions. That's what I'm saying. You know, you didn't know that Slim Danen. Shoot. Our running backs.
Third quarterback? Fourth quarterback?
Yep, I was an emergency quarterback too. You didn't know that either, Barbershop. See? Oh, no. You're going to learn something today. I say from the running back position, I'd give them a B, I'd say A-, and here's why. I think the emergence of Darrell Williams, Derek Gore coming off of practice squad and getting an infusion of energy and production in the way that he did in his opportunities with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. The only thing you can think back on in regards to a negative in regards to this running back core is the fumble against the Ravens. you'd be hard-pressed to really tackle anything else that this running back core has not done with the opportunities that they've been given. Reason why I say that is because, and people may have heard me say this throughout this season, when you have an opportunity, people say, establish the run, establish the run. If you're going to establish a run, guess what you're doing? You are taking the ball out of the best player in the NFL's hands, who's Patrick Mahomes. Every time he gets it and has to hand it off, that's one less time he can do some magic with it. I know that's a tough juggle, and that's one of those dynamics that Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid have had to figure out, but I don't think it's at the behest of the running backs and their availability and opportunity to make plays. So I'm going to give them that A-. Wide receivers, I'm going to be, I guess I'm kind of like Barbershop on that. I'm going to be a little harder on them. And I'm going to say they're probably a B-, C+. And reason why, because of the drops earlier, the drops that automatically went to interceptions. I think of Marcus Kemp, the two that Tyreek had. We had multiple fumbles by Byron Pringle and Mecole Hardman. Each one of those guys have been like equal opportunity in regards to turning the ball over. We hadn't really established a number two receiver up to this point. So to me, a B-, C+ is justified in part because Tyreek Hill has been able to elevate that team. If Tyreek Hill wasn't doing what he's been doing to the extent of what he's been doing, that would we'd probably be in a D+ range with our wide receiver. So Tyreek Hill and his amazing performances and athleticism and speed and quickness has carried this wide receiver into the positive category as far as a C+. And at quarterback, if we're grading on whole, not the 400 plus yards and five touchdowns that we saw last week, but from week one through week 10, I'm going to say B. A B grade for Patrick Mahomes. Because I think if he's got 10 interceptions, we've already talked, at least three of those are catchable balls that should be caught that hit the receivers, both of his hands. And then the adjustments that he's made since identifying some of his weaknesses and tendencies and teams exploiting that. So I'm going to give them a B there. So those are the grades for the first half of the season. If you got a problem with any of them, the text line is open, 913-576-7610. When we come back after halftime, the time is yours. Text us, call us, give us what you got. We look forward to hearing about it, but we'll get to it next.
Time's yours.
This is Players Only with Danan Hughes and Sean Barber. Thursday nights at 6 on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Halftime's over. And we're back. Players Only back in the building. Sean Barber, Keith Cash, our guest, and I'm Danan Hughes. And this third segment, as it is each and every week, is...
Time's yours.
Time's yours. We got the text line open, 913-576-7610. And the phone lines as well. And we got a phone line. Reggie from Anaheim. What you got going on, Reggie?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I got two quick questions/comments. I have been saying since like week two or three when I went back and rewatched the games, I was like, man, I was like,
can
this
I
running
still...
back seems. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. My bad. Yeah, I was saying my two quick comments was, is it a surprise that once Patrick Mahomes started hitting the running back purposely, right out of the backfield, right when he gets the ball, and it starts to open up all the stuff that all the cute stuff that they want to do downfield. And then my second comment is, I don't think he's going to get enough run, but I think you guys have talked about it already tonight. But Melvin Ingram coming in and being a stalwart, a defensive end on the run, and on the and being a pass rush specialist, I think it's really helped the defense because it's allowed Chris Jones to kick inside with Nnadi. And number 90, I forget his name, which makes our front seven pretty good, especially when you got those young and athletic linebackers on that second level as well. So I just wanted to get your guys' opinion on Mahomes finally throwing it to the running back, opening up the offense, and Melvin and Ingram being an asset on that defensive end.
Well, I'll reply to that. Obviously, from Pat Mahomes' standpoint, He's been traditionally a quarterback that's always kept his eyes downfield, watching second level. And that's where he's, kind of buttered his bread. He's been known for these amazing no-look catches at 20 yards downfield, the 60-yard-plus bombs to Tyreek Hill and Kelsey and stuff, the wasp play. But teams are taking those things away, and it's almost like in the first 10 weeks of the season, he's been reluctant to go ahead and take that 5-yard flat route, that swing route, the stop route. And now that he's going to those quicker, it's allowing everything. The one thing we saw in this game, if you remember the image of seeing Kelsey after the catch, it was like he was just dodging bullets. He seemed like he was Neo in the Matrix, right? He would tag Max Crosby so he couldn't get to Pat, and then he would late release, grab the ball, and now the guys are coming from 15 yards deep, and he just dodging them is easy. Like it was just so easy for him. And that's the kind of rhythm throws that from a defense is going to play you deep to short. Just keep hitting up. Those are jabs. Those just jabs for the first few quarters, and then it opens up those big plays, chunk plays down to Tyreek Hill, and then the big chunk play, obviously, for the touchdown to Darrell Williams. And then from a defensive side point, like you said, my man Melvin Ingram is a mercenary. He came in with an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
They asked him his first question, what kind of emotion are you going to have when it's time to play the Chargers and it's time to play the Pittsburgh Steelers later in the season? He was like, emotion? I don't play with no emotion. Like, this is what I do. This is my job.
Yeah.
And that attitude is something that was needed. Like I'm not counting stats. I'm not counting any of that stuff. I'm trying to make life miserable for whoever you put in front of me for the entire game.
And it doesn't matter if we're at home, mm-mm, or away, 12th man, whatever it is, I'm about this business.
Yeah, that attitude travels well. And it does allow Sac Nation and Frank Clark to then be a little bit more pass happy. And then when you talk about those linebackers, if your front four are taking care of business and they're not letting offensive linemen up on you quick,
mm-hmm,
it'll allow our angles to be nice and sharp downhill. And we got some young guys that know how to bang. Those are bangers. Bolton and Willie Gay are two bangers. They can run sideline to sideline. They got great cover skills. We've seen from Willie Gay already with a pick. And those guys are going to continue to make plays and develop. And so I like what I see overall from front to back of a defense.
Appreciate the call. Let's go to Keithan and KC Moe. Keithan, what's going on, bro?
Hey, how you doing, Dane? Good to talk to you. I always love you as a player and everything. Keith Cash, barbershop, everything, you know.
Appreciate you.
I got an old school question for my man Keith Cash. I would like to know, when you made that touchdown against the Oilers, and you spoiled, you threw the ball at Buddy Ryan's thing, what was you thinking? And before you answer that, I just want to give a shout out to y'all. I love y'all. I love T-Dot. I love 610. I love Rob, the producer. And just, I'm going to go out with that. And y'all keep your thing. Let's go, Chiefs.
Appreciate
bring
you.
Another one
yes,
back.
Sir. Yes,
appreciate
sir.
You,
so, I'm not sure what I was thinking. I know that I was very angry in my youth. I was a very angry man. And they were talking about taking out our quarterback. You remember
uh-huh.
that day?
Oh,
and all
yeah,
that trash
that.
Was yep. being talked. I think they beat us by about 30 earlier in the
yep.
year.
Week two.
And we came out there pretty upset. So
yeah.
I don't know what I was thinking. I caught the pass, scored a touchdown, saw Buddy Ryan in that corner, and it was kind of one of those can't even say it on the radio.
Yeah.
But one of those screw you moments.
Yeah, there you go. Yep, I agree. I was on the field. I remember that season. That was my rookie year. And I kind of feel like, if you remember, the year before was their great comeback. That the Bills came back against them. And they kind of felt like this was their year for retribution all the way through. And they kind of overlooked us because they beat us up so bad earlier in the season. And they didn't have the luxury of getting a second chance at that. So, yeah, I remember that. I remember Keith being a very angry individual on the football field. Not off the field, but on the football field. I think we were all kind of different
attitude.
Zones of life.
That's right.
Back then.
That's right.
Thanks for the call, bro, Keithan. What about Dan, KC? Give it to us, Dan.
Time's yours.
Hey, Dan. Hi. Hi, Sean. Yeah, it was a great performance by the Chiefs. Travis Kelce, he owns the Raiders.
119 yards, and the defense really good. You know, yeah, a couple of sacks by Jarrett Reed, and I remember Dana the night when it was good by Kid Andre Bryson. That was the best performance on Monday Night Football when they pulled out on the and final score was I think 27-22. But anyway, great performance. Take care of yourself, guys.
Appreciate you, Dan. I love how Dan brings us the energy each and every week. Thanks for the call. Yes, I do remember that big-time play. Chris Dishman was the defensive back that made the blunder and came up on an out route when we needed a touchdown to go ahead. Just a dopey thing that the Raiders – it was typical Raiders. So
that's what they do.
Yep. To the text line, yes. We got first text from 816, Mark Thomas. We appreciate you. I do remember you and your son, Chad. Coaching against y'all in baseball. Appreciate you with the support. You have a blessed Thanksgiving as well. An 816. Don't act like special teams isn't important, Barber. He don't know. Bless his heart.
I'm a four-phase special teamer. If those who know, that means I played on kickoff return, punt, and punt return my entire, all 10 years.
Me too. All
so
six.
I was we're core special teamers here.
One of the biggest old school special teams plays in Chiefs history is Keith Cash block punt.
Against
his previous team, Pittsburgh Steelers, in what wound up being the only home playoff win in 20 years wow. up until just a few years ago.
So now, let me Kendall Gammon snapping slow Kendall.
That's our ambassador brother, man. Turn down the house.
I tell him that all the time. Inside. I tell him that
now,
all the time.
Now, Keith, going back to this punt block, did you use a quick swim, an underarm, a rip? Did they just leave you unblocked?
He just ripped through.
Man. Unblocked. That's where you go.
I'm just sometimes
he just ripped through.
Hey, Danny, sometimes they start counting.
Rip and dive.
Hey, yep. I got one, you got two. And you
I know, was back punt return.
My bad.
What it was I did a little swim, and then I ripped. And then I did a head slap.
Oh.
He did the old school. All of it.
Old school.
All of it in about 1 second.
Trifecta.
That's how quick he was.
That's it.
Yeah. Got into bed before the lights went out. He was like Keith Cash. 816. Why did Hitchens not wrap up when he tackles or he gets driven back 3 to 5 yards each time?
Man, let's X out the getting driven back three. Like he's doing that on purpose. Not rapping is just a nature of as you get down more and more years, more and more veterans. Like the man is playing with the, you know, slightly torn this, or you know, we know he's got an arm injury that happened earlier this year. I mean, those are just it's a survival mode right now. Like no one is 100%. So we got Thuney playing with a broken hand. We got Chris playing with his wrist injury. It's a battle of attrition at this point. And so if the guy has only one arm. What you want him to do a full
technique?
Technical takedown, full Nelson. I mean, at the end of the day, the man is making extreme contact. He's getting to his spot. He's using his hands to get off blocks in the right place, right time, leading the defense. If it becomes a liability, you'll see more Bolton in there.
All right, that's the Time's Yours segment. I kind of feel like we're going to extend that into the fourth quarter because we got a lot of text messages here. We don't have a whole bunch of time, but we appreciate all the activity, and we thank you for the Time's Yours segment. When we come back for the fourth quarter, the fourth and final quarter before this Cowboys matchup and then a bye week, we'll tackle a few more text messages and then get into the keys for the Chiefs to come away with the win. Next.
Time's Yours.
This is Players Only with Danan Hughes and Sean Barber. Thursday nights at 6 on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Fourth quarter here, Players Only, Barbershop, Sean Barber, Keith Cash, our guest, and I'm Danan Hughes. I think we got to get a little carryover in the fourth quarter from the Time's Yours segment, as each and every week. Our friends at U.S. Bank, whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit. Uh-oh. Guys, before we get into the keys to this win coming up, which I'm going to say it's a win, we got the 816.
Somebody made a statement about Iowa.
I'm going to save the best for last. 816, the grades are fair. Thank you. We appreciate that. We appreciate that assessment, even though Barbershop was kind of a little low on his, but, you know, who's being picky? All right. We got 913 Fenton, number one cornerback, better than Ramsey. Yeah, not sure about that one. Veach, 201st pick. Like the 201st pick, but I ain't going to go out on a limb or in regards to Jalen Ramsey in comparisons to him. We talked about Melvin Ingram. We got a guy from Columbia here. Hate the puppet, what I already heard from you, but thoughts on are precisely the same, that the defense is about production, I guess. All right. We appreciate that from 816. Where's the Hawkeye one? I want to get to the Hawkeye one. As an Iowa fan from the 563, that's a new one. As an Iowa fan, I obviously love you, Hitchens, and Neiman. I understand people's frustration, especially with Ben, but they are system guys. They know the system, and that's why Spags trust them. Thoughts? Go Hawks. Let me repeat that last part. Go Hawks.
I think that text line message says you're a system guy. That's what you're saying, Danny.
That's what I heard.
You, Hitchens, and Neiman, y'all are all system guys.
I'm an Odyssey system guy. Odyssey, right here. That's the system. That's the only system I'm part of.
Robots.
All right, from the 316, y'all need at least another hour or at least an additional show on another night. No BS without an agenda. I agree. We've been begging for this. Man, we've been talking with Steven Spector for years. This is our... what, fourth year on?
Yes.
And we've been begging for extra time.
The fans want to hear the no-nonsense. Listen, they understand the bills that get paid by the messages and the commercials and stuff, but when it's time to talk football, time to talk Chiefs, they don't want to talk about the hot takes on the Good Morning News and what
Pro Football Focus
Lewis Riddick is saying and playing clips from coaches. They want to know, hey, man, what do y'all guys see the game through a different lens? What are y'all seeing? What is working? What ain't working? What things are going to be replicated and can we continue to see? You're going to continue to see Melvin Ingram be a bad MF-er. That's what he is. Like he ain't never been that. He ain't never been that. That's what he's always been. You're going to see Sac Nation be special. He's a special defensive tackle. Whenever he's on top in those A and B gaps, he's long. He's batting balls down. He keeps people off his body. And then Frank Clark, when the chum is in the water, that's why they call him a shark. He's the closer. That's what he is. He's the closer.
All right, so real quick, guys, we got the Cowboys coming up. We only got about 60 seconds for all three of us. What do you think about this Cowboys guest, Keith Cash?
Yeah, I think the keys are no turnovers, run the ball, and take what they give you. They're going to give you a chance throwing the ball deep a few times. We got to hit some of those.
Yep.
I think offensively, I think we could perform well against this team.
I don't want us going into the game worrying about wins and losses. I want us to be the aggressive. I want us to come in here, and however you leave this field – Cowboys, you're going to leave hurt. Either your feelings, your record, whatever. Somebody's going to be hurt walking off this field, and it ain't going to be us. We're going to be the hammer and not the nail.
Yep, I agree. There's a difference between being hurt and being injured. Nobody's endorsing injury, but being hurt can have multiple definitions. I agree. Be who we are. And I think we kind of saw the identity of this Chiefs team over these last few weeks. It wasn't necessarily producing points in those first two wins, but last week, if we get that kind of tag and that's the identity that we carry, we're going to be in the same predicament as we were a couple years ago at this same time. Remember, we lost to the Tennessee Titans. We were 6-4 and didn't lose another game for almost a calendar year. I like that idea. I think this team is really rallying together. I agree. Melvin Ingram has been an infusion of different energy and attitude to this defense, where you're seeing guys like Jaron Reed step up, mm-hmm. Derek Nnadi mm-hmm. step up, the linebacking core feeding off of that, Chris Jones getting to a different level that we'd seen earlier this season. And offensively, this offensive line keep bullying people, moving people against their will. That's the job of an offensive line. That's what they wake up every morning wanting to do. Let's keep doing it. And Patrick Mahomes, we're seeing the adjustments.
Hey, Danny, can we take some time to just beg the fans to come to the game, be there?
Be there.
Listen, do not sell these tickets. I know you want to make a little extra cash to play for the playoff tickets. This ain't the time to do it.
We need it.
Push all your chips in. Let's fill that lower bowl all red. The sea of red needs to come alive. Be the 12th. Be that energy. Be the 12th person on the field. Get those boys what they need to play.
There's a lot of Dallas Cowboys that ain't never experienced the Chiefs Kingdom. Mm-mm. Let's give them what they don't realize they can get. They have never experienced it down in Jerry's Dome. The Chiefs Kingdom can become a reality to the NFC. Patrick Mahomes is 12-2 against the NFC. 37 touchdowns, just 8 interceptions. He has been dominant. It is tough to play against this team when you only face them once every 4 years. I believe that this is the time. Our Chiefs are going to come away with a victory. 7-4 going into the bye week. For everybody out there, for Julio, Keith Cash, your family, Barbershop, your family as well, have a blessed and happy Thanksgiving. We won't be with you next week, but we'll be back at it after that. Peace.
Is Players Only with Danan Hughes and Sean Barber. Thursday nights at 6 on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at AutoTrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.